This morning's reading is from Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 to 30. So that's Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 to 30. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I may also be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad, and I may have less anxiety. So then, welcome him in the Lord with great joy, and honour people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me. This is God's word.
Jules, thank you so much for reading for us. Good morning. Allow me to lead us in prayer. Father, we thank you so much that we have the opportunity this morning to hear you speak to us from your word. We pray that you'd give us soft hearts now to receive your word and help me to speak faithfully and clearly from it. We pray that your spirit would help us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's a famous photo of a 13-year-old boy surrounded by posters of his idol. The boy in the photo's name is Kylian Mbappe. Today, he is 21 years old and is one of the best football players on the planet and will probably become the best player in the world one day. Growing up, all Mbappe ever dreamed of was becoming like his idol, the man on his posters, Cristiano Ronaldo. And it has to be said that Mbappe has actually done pretty well in achieving his dream. Not only has he turned out to be an outstanding professional football player, but he actually resembles his boyhood idol in the way he plays. He's super quick, he's skillful, and he's lethal in front of goal. And this all, of course, is no coincidence. Mbappe filled his mind with Ronaldo. He imitated his style of play. When he was younger, he would even celebrate his goals the way Ronaldo does. When you really want to be like someone, you will do all you can to imitate them, won't you? You will fill your mind with that person. Mbappe filled his mind with Ronaldo. In a sense, you could say that he had the mind of Ronaldo. And this is my segue into today's passage. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, Paul says, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Paul told the Philippians to have the mind of Christ. Paul wants Christians to imitate Christ a bit like Mbappe imitated Ronaldo. Now, when we hear that as Christians we ought to have the mind of Christ, how do we tend to respond? I feel like most of us think, gosh, how on earth am I going to do that? Jesus is divine. He's the Son of God. I can't be like him. It sounds like an almost impossible thing to do, doesn't it? I think Paul was very aware of this. So in this passage, he gives us examples of two men, Timothy and Epaphroditus, who had the mind of Christ. And in these verses, we'll see that Paul himself also had the mind of Christ. And I think the examples of these three men are here to motivate us, to show us that we too can have the mind of Christ. Having the mind of Christ is not impossible. But what does it look like? Our first point is, having the mind of Christ looks like caring about God's people. Having the mind of Christ looks like caring about God's people. Let's read verses 19 to 21. And as we read, try to spot how Timothy and Paul show concern for the Philippian church. Verse 19. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. In what way do we see that Timothy cares about God's people? Paul says that he has a genuine concern for them. Timothy's love for them is authentic. And Paul knows Timothy better than most people do because of how closely they've been ministering together. So Paul has been able to witness how Timothy relates to his brothers and sisters in Christ. He's probably noticed how fondly Timothy speaks of the Philippians. He's probably seen how joyfully Timothy prays for them. There's no doubt in Paul's mind that Timothy cares deeply about these believers. Paul has come across many people engaged in gospel ministry, but there's no one he rates as highly as Timothy. There's no one he has seen who cares so single-mindedly about the spiritual well-being of Christians as Timothy does. Unlike those in ministry whom Paul speaks of in chapter 1, verse 17, who are in it for selfish reasons, Timothy is in ministry because he wants to please Christ. His goal of a servant as Christ is to be like Christ. So how is Timothy resembling our Lord? He's living according to the Jesus-patterned life Paul described earlier in chapter 2. Have a look at chapter 2, verse 3 with me. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Looking out to the interests of others is exactly what Christ did. And this is what Timothy is doing too. Timothy has the mind of Christ, which causes him to humbly serve others. How many of us have often said that we want to be more like Jesus? Paul is laying here very clearly that we can be. Timothy imitated Jesus by caring about God's people, humbly serving them. And we too can imitate Jesus by caring for our brothers and sisters, humbly serving them. So we've seen that Timothy cares about God's people. How does this passage show us that Paul does too? We see it in a couple of ways. Firstly, we see it in Paul's reason for desiring to send Timothy to them. Have a look with me at verse 19. Paul says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. Part of the reason Paul wants to send Timothy to the Philippians is to hear about how they are doing spiritually. Paul cares about their walk with the Lord. And we also see his care for them and his reason for sending Epaphroditus to them. Look at me at verse 28. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. Why does Paul want to send Epaphroditus back to the Philippian Christians? They'd become really upset by the news that Epaphroditus had become severely ill. So Paul wants to send him back as soon as possible so that they might be relieved when they see that he's in better health. We see here that Paul cares about them because he's concerned that they're in distress. So we've seen that Timothy and Paul both display the mind of Christ by caring about the church. Now, some of us might be thinking, hold on. Paul and Timothy both were pastors. I'm not. Does caring for God's people in this way really apply to me? Isn't this point more applicable to those who are in paid Christian ministry? In addition to the examples of Paul and Timothy, our passage also gives us the example of Epaphroditus, who's a Philippian Christian. But now he's in Rome with Paul. What's he doing there? Because prisoners in Rome were not cared for by the state, inmates had to find their own means of getting really basic things, things like food and clothes. So the Philippian church decided to send a financial gift to Paul so that he would have everything he needed to look after himself while he was in prison. But because there weren't any DHL or post office branches in Philippi, Epaphroditus volunteered to personally deliver the church's gift to Paul. Epaphroditus is not a pastor. He's a church member who's offered to be a courier or a gopher. But the journey he would take was an arduous one, and depending on the route, could take anywhere between 6 and 12 weeks to complete. Indeed, we learn that his journey wasn't all plain sailing. Look with me at verse 25. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs, for he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. Have you ever worried more about other people's sadness at your sickness than you worried about the sickness itself? Epaphroditus became so ill that he nearly died. And now he's gutted that his church family are panicking about his health. He can't bear the thought of their being unnecessarily anxious about him. Epaphroditus cares about God's people. What does it look like to have the mind of Christ? It looks like caring about God's people, just as Timothy, Paul, and Epaphroditus did. What else does it look like to have the mind of Christ? It looks like risking everything for gospel progress. It looks like risking everything for gospel progress. We've just seen that Epaphroditus became so sick on his trip to see Paul that he nearly lost his life. What were Paul's thoughts on Epaphroditus' scrape with death? Have a look with me at verse 29. So then, welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. How does Paul think Epaphroditus should be treated? with honor. Why? Because he was willing to die for the work of Christ. In Epaphroditus, Paul sees someone who is willing to suffer and sacrifice everything, even his life, his health and his life, for the gospel. In Epaphroditus, he sees someone who's not looking out to his own interests, but to the interests of others. In other words, in Epaphroditus, he sees someone who has the mind of Christ. Jesus was willing to lay down his life for the sake of others. And Epaphroditus was willing to lose his life for the sake of others. Jesus was exalted for his humble self-sacrificial service for others. And Epaphroditus should be exalted for his humble self-sacrificial service for others. Why was Epaphroditus willing to put his neck on the line in the way that he did? It's because he knew how crucial Paul's ministry was for the church. Epaphroditus wanted Christians to continue to benefit from Paul's teaching ministry. And he wanted non-Christians to continue to benefit from Paul's gospel proclamation. Epaphroditus believed in the importance and power of the gospel, and therefore was even willing to die for the cause of the gospel. So Paul tells the Philippians to honor him. And Paul himself honors him. How does he refer to him in verse 25? He calls him my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier. Friends, unlike Paul and Timothy, Epaphroditus is not a preacher or a pastor. He's a gopher. Yet Paul doesn't think of himself as superior or as worthy of more honor than Epaphroditus. He sees him as a fellow gospel laborer. He sees him as a gospel partner. This relationship is an excellent example of what it looks like to strive side by side for the gospel. Brothers and sisters, the gospel advances when God's people, both Bible teachers and the wider congregation, strive side by side for it. The gospel advances when all of God's people are willing to risk everything for its progress. Epaphroditus nearly died because he risked everything for the sake of the gospel. And Paul is in prison where he is writing this letter from because he too risked everything for the sake of the gospel. And I think it's fair to assume that Timothy also risked everything for the sake of the gospel. Look at how Paul describes him in verse 22. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. It would be odd, wouldn't it, if Paul were to speak so highly of Timothy, if Timothy weren't also a gospel risk taker. I think we can rightly assume he was one, because Timothy says that he was like a son to him. Paul is telling us that they're both cut from the same cloth. Timothy, like Paul, is almost certainly taking risks for the gospel. Friends, whether you see yourselves as more of a gospel teacher or as more as a gospel gopher, you can have the mind of Christ. You can have the mind of Christ by caring about others and being willing to risk everything for the advance of the gospel. In what ways are we currently demonstrating care about the spiritual welfare of God's people? In what ways can we continue to do that? And in what ways can we begin to do it? Now that we're in lockdown, it will be especially helpful to contact our brothers and sisters to check up on how they're doing spiritually. Why not phone or send a message to a couple of people from church this week, asking them how they're doing spiritually, asking them how you can be praying for them, sharing a verse from the Bible with them. Let's have the mind of Christ caring for others. And let's have the mind of Christ being willing to take risks for the gospel's advance. How might we take risks for the gospel? We could take risks that might cost us our reputation or status. When we take the bold step to share the gospel with our non-Christian, we are risking our reputation. Who knows what they might think of us? We could take risks that might cost us a more comfortable retirement. A friend of mine decided to maintain his level of giving to Christian ministry despite going from working a 5-day week to a 3-day week. And when he said this to his financial advisor, he thought he was bonkers. And we could take risks that might cost us our health or even our life. I have friends who moved to a Muslim country in Africa where it's extremely challenging on many different levels to be a Christian. Now, there's no one-size-fits-all for risk-taking. The risk I take might look different from the risk you take. And the risk you take might look different from another Christian's risks. And we should never risk for risk's sake. But taking risks for the gospel is good for us. It is good for our spiritual health. And isn't it a privilege? When we risk for the gospel, we are being like our Savior. And as his followers, don't we want to be more like him? I know it's not easy. That's why I think we should pray for this. Let's pray to our Heavenly Father that he would give us the mind of his Son. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for those who have laid down their lives for our sakes so that we can have freedom today. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus and for how he laid down his life for our sakes so that we can have freedom, so that we can be free from sin. Father, help us to have the mind of your Son. Thank you for the examples of Paul, Timothy, and Epaphroditus. Father, thank you for showing us in this passage that we too can have the mind of Christ. Help us to do that by caring for one another, and help us to do that by being willing to take risks for the cause of the gospel. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.